You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome everyone to today's podcast. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington, and I'm so glad that you could take time out of your busy schedule to be here with us today. Our mission here at the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to teach lessons on the foundational doctrines and principles found in the Holy Bible. It's important as Christians that we know what we believe and we know why we believe it. So I will be presenting a series of podcasts on the essential foundational Christian doctrines of the Bible, beginning with the doctrine of creation, the doctrine of original sin, man's fallen condition, the promise of a Messiah, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, the incarnation of Christ, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the doctrine of the Trinity, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the return, salvation, heaven and hell, and there's so many other essential Christian doctrines that we would talk about. But before we do that, before we launch into our series of podcasts on the foundational principles found in the Bible, I think it's incumbent upon us as Christians to lay the right foundation for that, to lay the groundwork or the framework for discussing what is in the Bible. And before we begin discussing what is contained in the Bible, I think we need to defend the Bible itself. And by doing so, that's what we will do in our first five-part series that we will put together. And the five-part series we'll discuss this issue about, is the Bible the literal word of God? And in five parts, I will give you our defense, our apologetic, that of course, and yes, it is. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with this word apologetic just means to defend, that we have to defend the word of God. And there's several scriptures, a lot of scripture that supports that. But to begin with, you need to understand as Christians, we're called to be the defense attorney for the word of God because Jesus Christ has been given a bad rap. People will tell you that Jesus Christ is not God. The Holy Spirit has been given a bad rap. God the Father has been given a bad rap. And of course, the Holy Bible has been given a bad rap. There's been critics that says that it's not true. And it's our job as Christians is to defend it. You don't think so? Let me give you several scriptures to back that up. 1 Peter 3:15 says to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you to speak of the hope that is within you. Let me run that by you one more time. 1 Peter 3:15 says to always be ready to give a defense. What's a defense? A defense is an apologetic. Who do you give it to? Some people. You give to anyone. Anyone who asks you to speak of the hope that is within you. That's our job as Christians, to give a defense. And if that's not enough, let me give you another scripture. Go to Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude, J-U-D-E, Jude chapter 1, verse 3, tells us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. To earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So I have to ask you the operative question. What is the faith that we should earnestly contend for that was once given to the saints? I'll give you a clue. It's the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the faith that we need to earnestly contend for. And so what we're doing here in our first five podcasts, I will give you a five-part apologetic or defense. I will give you evidence that the Holy Bible is the literal word of God. In part one, we're going to title this The Uniqueness of the Holy Bible. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. An increasing number of people in our world today do not believe that the Holy Bible is the literal word of God. And this group of people, these haters, these non-believers, these skeptics, this group of people believe that the Bible is a book of fables and legends and moral precepts recorded by man. The non-believers will be quick to try to give you the argument that the Bible should not be believed because it was written by man. And not a good argument. But nonetheless, they will give you what they call their belief. And their belief is an opinion. And what's an opinion? It's unfounded. It's a dogmatic assertion. And ladies and gentlemen, the world does not run on opinions. The world runs on facts and data. We need some evidence. Our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I'm very passionate about encouraging Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible. We need to know what we believe. And we need to know why we believe it. We need to have the evidence. We need to be able to present that. We need to be able to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks us to speak of the hope that is within us. I used to attend a large metropolitan church in the Atlanta area. And on Saturday mornings, we would go out with our missions outreach ministry in the community, and we would evangelize. We'd bring our Bibles and our tracts, and we would talk to people as they came out from the grocery stores or were walking down the streets in the community, wherever we met them, and we would tell them about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many times, we were met with skepticism and people who would tell us straight up, I don't believe that. The Bible is not God's word. The Bible is corrupt. The Bible was created by man. They would give you all kind of opinions with no data to back it up. But as Christians, we must be able to explain beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt why the Holy Bible is God's inspired word. And we also need to be able to tell non-believers that the Bible is just as relevant and needed today as it has ever been before. So I have to ask you the rhetorical, obvious question. Is there evidence, Christians, I'm speaking to you now, is there evidence that the Holy Bible is the literal word of God? I'm glad you asked. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, let me present you with Exhibit A. Exhibit A. There's never been a book before written that has the scope and the collaborative effort as you find in the Holy Bible. Just ponder and consider this for a minute. The authors of the Holy Bible came from many diverse backgrounds. They came from many diverse geographical locations, and they came from many diverse occupations. It took the authors of the Holy Bible over 1,600 years to write this book. Consider that. Consider the evidence that 1,600 years in writing a book is more than a millennium and a half. So 1,600 years we wrote this book called the Holy Bible. If that's not unique enough for the Holy Bible, let me give you some more uniqueness evidence. The Holy Bible was written on three continents. Part of the Bible was written in Africa. Part of the Bible was written on the continent of Asia, and part of the Bible was written on the continent of Europe. The authors of the Holy Bible wrote in three different languages. This is unprecedented. The authors of the Holy Bible wrote in three different languages. Part of the Bible was written in Hebrew. Part of the Bible was written in Aramaic. And I'm referencing now the Old Testament. And the Greek part of the Bible was the New Testament. So you have three different languages in which the Bible was written. And if that's not enough, let me give you some more evidence. Let me give you another exhibit. An exhibit that part of the Holy Bible was written in stone. Part of the Holy Bible was written in clay. Part of the Holy Bible was written in leather. And part of the Holy Bible was written on papyrus scrolls. And because this book speaks of divine inspiration, each of the authors reflects the same consistent theme. And think about that. And this overarching theme of the Bible is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created males and females in his own image, and they lived with him in the Garden of Eden, where there was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no suffering, there was no death, and there was no disease. And mankind had access to the tree of life, and they could live for eternity if they obeyed God. Of course, you know that didn't happen. And why? Because Satan came into the picture. Satan, the author of lies, the father of lies. Satan questioned God's authority and tempted Adam. Adam disobeyed God and ate the fruit from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. And as a consequence of Adam's sin, we all are paying for that. Mankind lost the opportunity to have eternal life, and mankind was evicted out of the Garden of Eden and has since been separated from God. God became a human through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh and justified in the spirit. God became human through Jesus Christ for the purposes of reconciling man back to God. Jesus Christ thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but took on the form of a servant. Jesus Christ was obedient to death, even the death of the cross, whereby God highly exalted Jesus and gave Jesus a name which is above every name. For at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And everyone that confesses that Jesus Christ is God and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead shall be saved. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. So this Bible, let me give you some more evidence. This Bible was written from approximately 1500 BC to AD 100, over 1600 years. Let's just stop right there and pause for a minute and just think about what I just said. Even when I'm telling you about defending the Bible, I have to tell you about God, because Jesus Christ split when he died and was resurrected. He split AD from BC. Everything in history points to one person and one event, and that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. And because of that, when we talk about time, we talk about the 1600 years, we talk about it in reference to Jesus Christ, not to Buddha, not to Muhammad. And so when we talk about 1500 BC, it's called BC, before Christ. It's not called BB, before Buddha. It's not called BM, before Muhammad. And when you talk about from 1500 BC to 100 AD, what is AD? After the death. Was it after the death of Buddha? No. Was it after the death of Muhammad? No. It was after the death, burial, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ. So everything in the world today, past, present, and future, is defined by one person. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. So my evidence again is that the Bible was written from approximately 1500 BC to AD 100, over 1600 years. A book that was written under these unique circumstances speaks to the divine inspiration and interaction that led to its creation. Clearly, there is no other plausible explanation on how this book was written. There is no other book known to mankind that could make even a fraction of these unique and special claims. And with a total estimated sales of over 5 billion copies, I said 5 billion, not 5 million, 5 billion copies. With a total estimated sales of over 5 billion copies, the Holy Bible is the world's all-time best-seller book. The full Bible has been translated into over 600 languages. And in total, some portion of the Bible has been translated into over 3,000 languages. The uniqueness of the Holy Bible, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, is unparalleled to any book ever written. So let me summarize my data. Let me summarize my evidence. There's never been a book written with the collaborative effort and scope of this magnitude. The Holy Bible was written by over 40 people. They were written by prophets. The Bible was written by kings. Some of the Bible was written by leaders and followers of Jesus Christ. And by the way, these followers and leaders of Jesus Christ suffered horrendous deaths for their testimony about Jesus Christ being God. So they came from diverse backgrounds. They came from diverse locations. They came from diverse occupations. As we said before, it took them 1,600 years to write this book, and they wrote it on three different continents. Part of the book was written on the continent of Africa, part of the Bible was written on the continent of Asia, and part of the Bible was written in Europe. The authors wrote in three different languages. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament is written in Greek. Portions of the Holy Bible were written in stone. Some portions were written in clay. Some portions were written on leather, and some portions were written on papyrus. And they all have the same overarching theme about the creation, that God made this world, the problem of sin, God's plan for salvation and redemption through the shed blood on the cross of Jesus Christ. In each of the 66 books in the Holy Bible, complement and refer to each other. You can cross-reference the scriptures. Why? Because scripture confirms scripture. The full Bible has been translated into over 600 languages, and the New Testament alone has been translated into over 1,500 languages. And with a total estimated sales of over 5 billion copies, the Holy Bible is the world's all-time bestseller book. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no other book or work of literature that can make even a fraction of the claims put forth in support of the Holy Bible. This book has no peer and stands not only heads and shoulders above all other books, but it is literally in a class by itself. Looking at the evidence that we presented, it's obvious that the Holy Bible was supernaturally created and points to divine inspiration in the very unique way that it was created. So yes, the Holy Bible is the actual Word of God and is to be taken literally, word for word. Please share this podcast on your social media platforms. Let me repeat that again for my listening audience. Please share this podcast on your social media platforms. If after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer of salvation. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I confess that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for forgiveness of sins, and I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, and amen. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Click on the Salvation tab and download the ABCs of Salvation document, along with an article that we've developed called The Next Steps After Salvation. Because now that you're saved, you need to know what to do. What's the next steps? And I can tell you right now, part of that is you need to be involved with the church where Christ is being preached. You need to be involved in the church with a new members ministry where you can be taught the scriptures. You need to be mentored or discipled by a seasoned Christian. And so there's several next steps in there. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. And we can go on and on. But read that next steps after salvation. And if you have any questions, send me an email. And that's at drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's D-R-B-E-N at foundationalbtm.org. And once again, please share this podcast on your social media platforms. Thank you for listening today to our Uniqueness of the Holy Bible podcast. As our gift to you today, we have two free resources that accompanies today's podcast. The first one is titled The Uniqueness of the Holy Bible Study Guide. Download that so you can see the notes that we've used for this podcast. And also download The Uniqueness of the Holy Bible Answer Sheet. Please download the answer sheet. And you can download both resources at our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the Lessons tab.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's foundationalbtm.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
Does the Holy Bible claim to be God's Word and gives directions on how we should live our lives? Of course it does. This concept is sometimes referred to as the authority of Scripture. In our next podcast, we will present our apologetic, our defense. We will present our evidence of the Holy Bible with part two of a five-part series titled The Authority of Scripture. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. This is Dr. Ben signing off for now.